Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Malak Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio. We come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And it gives me great privilege, brothers and sisters, to be able to speak to you. I have to honestly say it's your motivation, your determination that gives me the will to want to do this. And I've received many texts of people emailing me and texting me how they feel about the shows that we have done. And our last show that we had on conference call was so excited to everyone, including my assistant that's been with me for 40 years. And he said to me, and I obeyed, that you need to start your own show in the world of boxing. What makes boxing, brothers and sisters, so unique is it's a worldly sport. Basketball, some Jews will not watch it, and some brothers and sisters in Islam will not watch it. They will not watch wrestling. And there's other sports that they will not watch. It's some type of way of conflicting to the language or the way they dress that most people will not turn it on. However, whichever sport they care not to watch, isn't it amazing that the sport of boxing, the Jews, rabbis have gotten in the ring. The Christians, yes, some of the outstanding Christians have stepped through those ropes. And in Islam, yes, we have stepped through those ropes. And that's what makes boxing so unique, is worldly. It goes into so many countries, over 200 foreign countries, and we're able to come into their living room. I believe, and this is my humble opinion, that I believe one-on-one sport is unique by the individual, because you have to have a gift. You have to understand what it takes for that individual to go in that ring and win. Muhammad Ali used to say it very profound. He used to say that when you're training 3 or 4 months to fight me, I've been training ever since I was 14 years old, and I've never got out of shape. More important, he used to say, you train 100%. He said, I train 110%. Now, isn't that amazing? That's the sport of boxing. The sport of boxing is very unique. It's one of a kind. And it was a great asset from the minorities all over the world. If they want to become a figure in the world, you step through the ropes in the sport of boxing. One of the reasons I was motivated behind that, because it made Muhammad Ali so great. He was the greatest. He was the greatest of all times. I mean, in Russia, in Germany, in England, France, you name the various different countries we went to, and all of the Latino countries, China, Tokyo, you name it, they all run to just get his autograph or just to see him or just touch him. And that's the sport of boxing. So I came up with the idea I can get into those living rooms through the ropes and stand behind that athlete named Muhammad Ali. I'll begin to show my likeness. Now, I'd be remiss if I told you that that was my creation. No, I watched Don King, yes. People say, you speak well of Don King. Anything good of a man, I'm going to speak well of it. And he was known to be between his two fighters at all times. You could not take a picture of his two boxers unless he was between. That's what made Don King so so visible. Everybody loved him. Everybody cared for him. Everybody saw him. I said, I can do that. And that's how I begin. I stand between my fighters. Just so happened I didn't start off with Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier or George Foreman or Kenny Norton or Ernest Shavers. That was Don King. I had to create my own. So I started small and thought big, and I grew large. But I was used to it where I ought to be. And then I realized I shouldn't be the only one known around TV, so I started bringing my men in the ring. And they would be on all four squares of the ring. They didn't like that. Now, my fight, but they didn't like that. Too many black people in the ring. Too many people being known. But my men came in that ring. But we didn't just come in the ring with jeans on and sneakers on and caps on our head. We wore tuxedos. We wore suits. We wore ties and bow ties. Oh, we was dressed to the T. And then they got so jealous, they used to say, you can't put all those people in the ring. So we used to say, one comes in, one twin comes in, and one twin stands out. Or they'll switch up. But they looking like you don't know which one was in the ring, which one was out. I don't care who you look at. Only those who knew them personally. And then we realized that standing behind, because they started taking the cameras off, and we didn't control the cameras, so they tried to take the cameras off us, brothers and sisters. And I said, okay, you're going to put that camera on that Caucasian. I said, live from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm standing right behind them. And they couldn't take that off, so I used to say to my men, all right, y'all come and you stand behind them. So sometimes he's Solid Dean and the two twins and I right there. Nobody else could get that spot. And that sent us around the world because we became known. There's the twins, yes, there's Marat Marble, right? And you don't go nowhere without them. We're sending a message, communication, 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 communication. So that's what the sport of boxing does. It's amazing. I've said this many times on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks, and we come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And we try to bring to you that which we have learned or that which that comes to us that you ought to know. You want to give back that which you learned. And I wanted to build an organization where we had communication, and more important than that, more important than that, brothers and sisters, I wanted to be able to create unity. Unity is a necessity. It's not a luxury, but this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us, is unity. And unity, brothers and sisters, is what we should love and want to be a part of. We should understand the meaning of unity. And I'll speak about that for a few minutes, and then also we will open it up so our brothers and sisters can ask me the questions, because one thing about this, when I bring you in to Blog Talk Radio, we don't know who's out there. It could be millions. I do have a great following, and so therefore they can hear. Now, on a free conference call, that's a little different. A lot of us don't call that. But I have the right people. I don't care if it's just 10, 15, or 20. It'll grow because it's becoming a vehicle where questions could be asked. And it allows us to understand what in the world is going on. So I had the vehicle to show y'all the tapes of the people that's a part of us. All these men that comes out and tell us about these diseases that we have, they are finding out that COVID-19 has no sophisticated vehicle to tell you if you got COVID-19. So they con you. You know, you look like you're looking at a Rolex watch until you get it home. until you go to the jewelry store and find out that's a watch that costs $20. You say, oh, my God, how did that happen? But it did look good, and you bought it. And how much you pay for it, that's up to you because you're the negotiator. But most of the time you get beat because you feel that that man that's selling you that Rolex, you're taking advantage of it. They only gave him $500. Rolex costs $10,000 and up. So why would you give him $500? Because you thought you was getting something for nothing. But guess what? You got a watch that's $20, but it looks like a Rolex watch. And this is on a lot of things that is being done that people can get over once they leave you. You have to suffer the consequences that you paid the money for something you did not receive. Well, that's what's happening now. They came out today that they can check your system, my system, any human being's system, and you're going to find a virus. And that virus could have been in you for 10 years. It's there. This is how strong the human being system is that God created it for us to be. You cannot know that you have a virus. Cause a law's in charge, it doesn't allow you to get sick. You might get sick later, you may not get sick. So they use that and say you got COVID-19. It is not COVID-19. It could be a cold. It could be a flu. It could be a sickness that was in you and that child. But it didn't come out for 2 or 3 years. So we have germs that goes in us, but who helps us? That's the angels that cleans our system. But if you keep putting junk in your system, and then it's going to come back to haunt you. But they found out there's no such test that tell you there's a virus. Now, just think about it. They had a show on today, Bill Gates, way back when he was a teenager. Well, let's fast forward. This man been diabolical all the time, that they chased him out of India. He was feeding them the monks through medicine. And all of a sudden, they chased him out. Where did he go? Africa. He's in Africa, and they say, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that Bill Gates is not a doctor? He's not a scientist. What makes Bill Gates inject of the African children? He don't call it the flu. He don't call it the mumps no more. He has a new name for it. But he can't inject it because he'll get sued big time. So he put drops in their mouth. And I'm not just saying this. It just came out. Now, every 10 person that he put that medicine in their mouth, they can't walk anymore. They can't move no more. And some are dying. Right now, today, that's why they chased them out of there. And that's the same man that's going to shoot you with a new virus that's supposed to clean up COVID-19. We don't do our homework. And they want to demand. They're trying to get passed in New York that they can come in your house and tell your husband, stand down.
Jacqueline Smith.
We're going to stick this needle in this child. And when you stick this needle in that child, you're going to die just like they died in Africa. You're going to become paralyzed. You can't walk. You can't move your arm. This is happening right now. This is happening, and we don't know anything about it. But we say, take this, and we take it. Because you think at one time, they was the closest thing to God himself. They do what they are taught to do, and they say, Allah will make it better. I'm not God, but I can help you to get rid of that disease. I can help you to get rid of that flu or that cold. I can help you for your heart just clapping. Yes. But today, they are dictated to, don't do it. Kill them. And when you kill them, call it COVID-19. And this is why COVID-19 became so popular, because a lot of us don't have COVID-19. And then they scare the hell out of you, because you have to be careful if you got a bad heart. You got to be careful if you got a bad lung. You got to be careful if you got a bad kidney. You got to be careful. Yes, you have to be careful. But they make it more serious than that. They believe that the human being can walk around with a disease. They did it with AIDS. They had to inject this into a female and spread it in America. It just didn't work as bad as this has. COVID-19 dominated everything. But they now, the same people that created all this diabolical stuff to kill us, is the same one coming up with a new one. And who is that? That little short one. You know him. And here comes Bill Gates, who's a part of all that. He's billions of dollars. You go and check his history. His dad, who was a scientist, and his mama, his dad, who taught him to be what he is, said too many people are in the world. Let's create something, get rid of them. I know that's too far-fetched from you. You don't have it. Now today is about bringing our children to school. Now today you're not going to be able to send your mail because it's not going to get there tomorrow. Why is all this? But one thing you did not think of, you're home. You got no money coming in. They're trying to take your house. You can't even go out and buy beans because you have no income. They hold up on your money that they're supposed to give us. Now, how are you going to vote and you're in line waiting for food so you can feed your children tonight, tomorrow? How is it that you're going to go and vote and you're broke? How is it you can't keep your lights on, your phone on? But you're going to go vote. And this young lady said it. I think it was a young lady. I'll give the credit to the young lady. She said, this is designed to keep you with no money. This is why they don't want the money to come over the mail. They want to cut your unemployment in half. He wants to shut it down. Isn't this amazing? Then today, 40 of this man is the worst thing ever happened. One by one, they got them speaking how they feel about him. They got the women call him a little boy. You got no one say that was mine. And those same people are not saying it today. What changed it? You know what changes the person? Money. Greed. It'll change you overnight. You can be the cleanest man in the world, but you make a lot of money selling dope. You can be clean in your morals, but you can make a lot of money selling women, selling little boys and little girls. See, when you become diabolical like that, that you are harm to society. And the only time we can be protected, it's for God has created us to be unified. That is so true. And that was my topic. That will be my topic for a few minutes. But we have to say that we all are believers in God. And we thank him. We say Allah, the God. But our Christians know what that means, God. We thank Allah for our presence. We thank Allah that we live today for many blessings. For we understand that he is the Lord of all the world. We ask God to guide us. We thank him for today, tomorrow, anytime you wake up, you should thank God. We thank him for our life. We thank him for our health. And we pray he always will guide us. Thank him for granting us mercy. We say, surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, and the Lord of all the worlds. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sa'asa wa sa'ayam, wa sa'asu ali kareem, wa sadaqallah wa neem. Brothers and sisters, what is the basis of unity? If we knew the basis of unity, we were understanding of those who are in al-Islam. Al-Islam is the foundation of unity. This is why God created. It's the foundation because we swayed away from being united. We have never messed with a man's wife because we were united. We love each other. We never destroy little girls like they're doing today. And surely we didn't sell them because we was united in our moral decency. We didn't break into homes. We didn't drive by and shoot anybody. Why? Because years ago, we had these type of morals, love and kind. And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came along. And Allah instilled in him to motivate most of us to come out of that understanding. And so he raised up the prostitutes, he raised up the pimps and the hustlers and so forth and so on. But that wasn't enough. That was just the beginning of the African American who was downtrodden. We were down in the mud of civilization, and we had nothing because society was against us. But we are all obligated to propagate and establish and unite in al-Islam. This is just al-Islam. We're supposed to propagate that. We're obligated to do that, to unite us in al-Islam. Also, to bring about unification and bring the people together as one community. This is al-Islam. Is it happening? No. If you had more doing that and less, you wouldn't talk about it too bad because the minorities would come. It's reverse. It's more people that does not care about unity and they are in al-Islam. So something is wrong. You can't blame the Christians. You can't blame the Jews because this is in your holy book about unity. We say it all the time that Allah is one. That alone should tell you that he, Allah, created unity. Why? Because God is one. That's where it begins. This comes from your Lord. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He just gave you what Allah says in the Holy Quran. Whatever God has done, he represented unity. He united the sun and the stars and the moon, the planet Earth, the mountains that keeps the weight of the Earth. He united them. He united the rivers and the seas and the lakes. He united them. He united the birds to be birds. Animals to be animals. He united. What part do we not understand? Read, Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that has created. What did he read, brothers and sisters? He read God's creation. Until we understand these things, we will never have unity. But guess what? I thank you all that come on this air on conference call and give me what's on your mind. Thank Allah. I ask Allah to guide my tongue, not to be personal, but give them the actual facts. Tell them what God says. And everything I do, I incorporate the Quran. Because the Quran, it keeps you upright. It keeps you on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. It allows you to humble yourself. It allows you to be able to take those questions and rationalize it in your mind and give the answer. Now, you may say, how did that work? It's like a computer, but the difference is that's man's computer that you use. But man got it from the brain of the human being. For thought travels 25,000 miles per second. So you ask me that question, yes, I have to think. But look how quick my thoughts travel. And then Allah gives it back to me to be able to see if, in fact, I can give you an understanding. Now, people say to me, well, Marah, you a walking Quran. Well, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we all are walking Quran. Oh, you didn't get it. You'll never be the messenger. You'll never be the prophet to anybody. That's over with. Done. But the nature, the uswa of the prophet is every last one of you that I'm speaking to. And now it's including 8 billion men and women. Are we in tune with our nature? That's important to understand, brothers and sisters, that we have to be in tune with our nature. So when you're in tune with your nature, you got help. So I got an angel sitting on my right knee, he talks to me. I got my soul that God says it talks to me. Nada, it's Allah. He will help you. And he sends his angels to do so, as well as his jinn. And don't misconstrue, there's some terrible jinns that's in you and me. That jinn, you can make him halal. And if you're good, you can make him Muslim. He'll submit. Because the question was asked to Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace, upon him, is the jinn in you? He said, yes, my jinn is Muslim. Now, my jinn is not no Muslim. I can tell you that right now. I'm working on him. But he's a sympathizer. He ain't no real devil to me. He don't interfere when I'm quoting God, even though he tries. But he knows he can't get me with that. But there's some things that he knows that I want to fall for, all the way to my grave. And then you got to go and beg Allah for forgiveness and stand back up. The unrighteous humbleness to say, may Allah be pleased and grant paradise, fall towards the direction of your goal. Now, the reason why you will hear me give credit where credit's due, because for some reason, no one wants to talk about the unrighteous humbleness. Let me show you how messed up we are. If someone said, Marat, I see you like this sister, you're going mad, but she with Mr. Farrakhan. Alhamdulillah. Because why? She's moral upright. Why? She ain't going to bring no confusion. Because she was taught well. Well, yeah. Marat, how do you know that? Because I was taught by the same man taught him. We didn't have those problems. We just loved each other. We did everything collectively. And we didn't have to be there. You needed our money. We were sent it. We had trust. There was no such thing as trying to find out what you have done with it, because the Almighty Allah will show you. You got land. You got planes. You got automobiles. You got trucks on the road. You got your own restaurant, your own bakery store. Your own school, Sister Clara Muhammad, University of Islam. And that's what raised us. But we got away from that because we have elevated and went behind some individual that won't even tell us what is unity. Why, brothers and sisters, you may say, the foreigners know more than us. They more cut up than anything. They got plenty of money, and Pakistanis don't like the Indians. And the Indians don't like the Pakistanis. So if you understand that, how in the hell they gonna love us? Because why are you looking for them to love you? That is not in Islam. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't force nobody this religion. It's not compulsory. And you shame it when you want to make someone to be what you are. You can't be anything what God allow you to be. And you have a choice to make that choice. You want to choose Christianity? Judaism? Well, Allah says, be it, but be a good one. Any other religion, or you say this, any other one, be that, but be good. That's what God is saying. And believe in the hereafter, meaning you have to believe God is one. So we are one community, and we're beginning. You hear it? I could say I had as much as 60 on this phone from conference call, but I had millions on Blog Talk Radio. And this is why I had to unite it, because Blog Talk Radio never heard you all speak before. So you're not just speaking to me. And then Jacqueline, who I'm bringing on, back on, where everybody is happy with her, I'll save her because I got two ahead of her, because Jacqueline is going to take you around the world. So that's what business is, to flee around the world. But that female, her and I are united. I treat her like she's my wife from the neck up. And she can stand on Mount Everest and say her welfare means more to me than to abuse her. And look what God gave me. And she, all this, and she knows, she always gives me the credit. I said, give the credit to Allah. All I did was give it to you. And now we have other sisters, like Salima, getting ready to have her own show. And hopefully one day most of your women will come because y'all can speak. You're very articulate. But they got a myth. I got to say this before I open the lines. I was brought into California. And one thing I do it big. So we met, we had the front page of California. Yes, Kamarad was there, came and heard me speak, and I thank Abdullah Hassan. He's the oldest we have in age. And Jacqueline said, you in California, I'm coming over. So no, she comes from Vegas over. And she was just real modest. Got on her letter from the top to the bottom, but her dress went a little bit above the knee. It's all right with me. She was modest. And I said, okay, I'm going to be a little longer. So she went downstairs and come running back and said, oh, no, I'm not coming. I ain't going in there. She said, so strong. They've got long dresses on and headpieces. Now, she knows about headpiece because she was a Seventh-day Adventist, so she knows about the long dress. I said, nobody's going to look at your dress. You dress very modest. So she trusts me and went back down. Make a long story short, this was her answer to what she thought. She said, Mirai, it is known out there in the world that the Islamic women, all they do is serve the Islamic man. They're not free. They're dictated. I said, well, is that so? She said, but my God, that's a lie. Them sisters treated me so beautiful, made me feel like I have just met my sisters and brothers that I didn't know nothing about. I felt like I'm at a family reunion. I said, good, Jacqueline, tell all your Christians the same thing. That's because we hide behind the door and we don't invite them amongst us. That's what I do. Tell you what I do, Juma, I bring my Christians by busloads. And say, hey, brother, say, whoa, you bringing all these Christians in here because that's who I want to teach. You already know it. If you lack in not wanting to learn, that's your prerogative. But they don't know it yet. And I have to say this. Most people, including me, that came from Christianity, knew a little bit about making prayer because mama taught you how to go to church. Mama taught you. Read the Bible once in a while. Mama taught you. But when you come to El Islam, you find out, whoa, this is just much easier because we was doing it with no understanding. Now we know why we go down in Rock Eyes. We go in Rock Eyes because why? Our Rock Eyes allow us to exercise our obedience to God. Oh, I could talk about that for the next 5 hours about how we go down, why we go in Sahul, Sukkot, and get up and Kayam and go down to Saja. I could teach all of that, but that's not for today. Unity is the key. That's what God wants for us. And we should understand that's what God wants for us. And if you understand it, that unity is Allah's creation. If you understand that Allah created unity, we should have more unity in this country. I say this country because I'm not outside the world. It's we in this country is being battered, and we allowed it to happen. With no further ado, I will open this line. And Salema, I know I heard you when you came on, and you're so beautiful. I enjoy talking. This young sister, I could call her after and say, what do you think about what happened? And my God, the words she uses, she used words that make me say, whoa, you got to come to another level when you come back on. And then she takes me to another level. Now I got to go to another level because she works me. She don't know that. She works this brain. She wants this man to go learn all what you can learn and then learn some more. Alhamdulillah. You there, my beautiful niece? Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum to you and your beautiful audience. Thank you so much. The question today is, an interest-bearing home loan prohibited in our Islam?
That's a good question. You see, outside the country, you're rich or you're poor. There's no democracy. Even in the Islamic countries, there's none. There's so much wealth amongst the few that in Saudi Arabia, they call themselves the royal family. There's no such thing as royal family. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad lived well because we took care of him. He never called himself royal. You know, Wazir Muhammad never called himself royal. There's no such word in the Quran that we are royal. We are one another, human beings. We have the same ingredients that was given to us at birth, common sense. In America, they'll tell you that they don't like loans. Well, this is a loan country. If you ain't a part of a loan, you must be very successful. Because when you're successful, you don't have to borrow. You give or you lend. But loaning is your home. When you go into your house, you don't have $300,000, but you got $20,000, and you put that $20,000, $30,000 down on the house in order to keep your mortgage down, about $2,000 or $25,000, it got to be 30 years. So, yes, I want to live in a home. I want to raise my children, And when my children get a certain age, they have already lived in the house for 20 years, most of them. So 20 years, you ain't got a 10-year nut to crack. So before you leave here, the children have that land that you brought for $300,000 is now worth $800,000. But what they do to us, they're going to find a way of taking that house so you don't leave it to your child. This is all designed. So if you don't protect yourself or you don't have people that's in that understanding on how you're supposed to save your house, they didn't teach us that, just like they didn't teach us Wall Street. We ain't giving nobody our money. And they call us up and say, well, that stock just tumbled. But where's my money? It's gone. And the reason they know you will probably kill somebody if you gave them $100,000 and next month is gone. So they ask you for your portfolio. In order for you to give $100,000, you got to have a million. In order for you to get $50,000, you got to have $100,000. In order for you to get $50,000 to anybody, you got to have $100,000. But you can't invest $20,000 if you only got $50,000 because they know you're going to go crazy. So what they ask for is $2,000, $3,000. But we don't invest because no one taught us that. But if you had invested in these major companies when they wasn't major, you'd be wealthy. That's how they taught them why they so wealthy. They wealthy because they white. They invest. We don't invest in anything. Why? Because of Black Wall Street. So it's a sin to them, not a sin to us. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mind saying it. I wanted my own hospital, all Islamic hospital. We brought it. And they was getting ready to give them $30 million, Salima. I said, whoa, wait a minute. We don't give nobody that kind of money. Are you crazy? You can put that money in the bank and pay them by the month until we can pay it off. But don't give them your money. I got them $30 million loan. And they took it. So they are not used to that because that is not so over there. But over here, it's your culture. The same way with credit cards. All my men had top-notch credit cards, American Express. Why? Because American Express, you have to pay it off. But what I used to do is come in and I have to put out $150,000, $200,000 on that car. But I get paid in 12 days. 2 weeks before the card is due, so I pay it off. Whoa! So the money jumps up. It jumps up until you get a black card, now you got $1 million. That's credit. But you got to know how to use it. If you don't use it right, you never get a credit card that tells you got to pay a fee every month. Throw that away. If you go past the date, they can hit you for 20%, 15%, 10%. Or you'll eat 10%. You'll eat 20% if you know that my daughter got to get this fee paid in college. But I have the money in 3 weeks. That's a credit card. If you won't have it in 2 months, then you borrow it and pay it off in 2 months. If you don't do that, then they got you. So I don't accept that. Take that outside this country. Last but not least, I want to ask Gaddafi, you got a lot of money in this country. I used to say to Imam Warasi Muhammad, I used to say to Jabbar Muhammad, and I said it to Minister of America. If I was with Gaddafi, you can't give me no $5-10 million. You're a trillionaire, man. Why don't you just give us the interest, since you don't like interest, off of your billions of dollars you got in America? Oh, a lot of them say he's not going to do that. I said, why not? And not only did they take his life, not only did they kill his family, But where's those billions that were sitting in the bank here in America? Now, you think one of the family members is going to come over here after they done tore that country up? They got the money. They got the money. Why didn't the money be left to the African Americans that didn't have anything? They have their money right now in the biggest companies there is. But they claim they don't take no interest. But they do take what they receive in their interest in that corporation. So it's evident they're not going to help us. So you got to survive. You got to learn the system to learn how to survive. So, yes, openly, I'm bearing witness that you will not have nothing. Consider yourself, I'm talking individually now, consider yourself to be able to borrow and know how to utilize it or to borrow to make more money. For instance, when I go and do a fight, Jacqueline would tell you, I got to get $10 million in this fighter, $10 million in that fighter, $20 million. Where am I going to get it from? If I don't have $20 million in the bank or more, they ain't giving it to me. I ain't never got a loan. Not because I didn't want it, they wasn't giving it to me. All the money I was making, all the money I'm making for people, I said, well, wait a minute. They said, unless you got land, property, jewels, gold, silver, but you can't bring us a human being and say he's worth this kind of money. I said, I got it, but I think that protects me because I don't owe none of that. It's my money. So, yes. So I said to Minister Louis Farrakhan, we could cut all this out. Let's unite, and I'll show you $1 billion in 1 year. 5 years, we got $10 billion. And no tell, now we can loan for 1% interest. We can give the Sukkot and so far and so on. Just so you can go in the business. We'll buy that business. We take 40, you take 60, but everything you need in that business, we put in there. We partner. Ooh, the community. Why are you going to be successful? Because the community is going to support it. We don't have to worry about nobody else. That's newfound money. If an Italian or Irishman or Chinese or whoever want to walk in there, that's newfound money. But we're going to make sure you're going to be a millionaire. Because 3 million of us is going to support you. That's unity. That's my humble opinion. What else do you have to say?
Well, you know, you answered all of my questions because I was going to tie it into how we collectively, you know, buy real estate together, et cetera, et cetera. And here you are already giving examples of that. So you addressed it.
Alhamdulillah. Samad, I know you love Jacqueline. I mean, you bust my ear about how Jacqueline did such a wonderful job. So I'm going to let you speak if you're there and ask your questions because, you know, Jackie's going to bring the world to you all. Are you there, Samad?
Yes, ma'am, Ron. Assalamualaikum.
What else, Ron? What's your question?
I got one question today, Ron. Let's talk politics, Ron. Who's the best man for the job and why? Trump or Biden? And who you think will win?
You know, there is a black man that never produced nothing. I'm using this as a metaphor. And the white man got the power. But the only choice we have to get the power away from the white man is to go with that brother. And you would say, no, that brother's an Uncle Tom. At least we have an opportunity to change him. You're not going to change that Caucasian. He's going to be that diabolical mind because that's what he's taught to be all his life. That's where racism comes from. So you have no choice now. You see what the president has done now, and I know him personally. Shook his hand, hugged him. I brought him a lot of money. He was always a good guy. But money, power is like wine. The more power you get, the drunker you become. And there's no one to sober him. They fear him. So you have no choice. Whether you like the vice president that's running, the Obama, whether you like him or not, that's the only choice you have. So you have two evils. Did he do evil? Yes. You got black men talking about Harris, what she did. You got black women talking about Harris, what she has done. What the hell did you do? Tell me what you did 20 years ago, what you did 30 years ago. They had a guy on the radio talking about thousands of inmates are shutting down these fires in California, the worst ever. Them Caucasian firemen will not go where those brothers go. It looks like they dominated it, but they only get $1 an hour. $1, they put their life on the line. Well, guess what? Some of them got COVID-19, as they claim, and some of them are getting sick. So there's 1,000 of them coming out of that prison. So they say, oh, my God, we are short. Short what? Money is not the money. They short the men that will do the job, because those real firemen will not do the job. Then when they come home, they can't even get a job that they mastered for all these years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. But they say you got to have that piece of paper. So, yes, he know it like the back of his hand. I know how to drive that automobile. I'll go take the test. Not if you're a felon. So they out, and they don't even have a job after putting their job on the line. But they asked them a question, and I said that was the trick. They act like they was helping us. They said, didn't Harris try to stop y'all from making money? And he said, yeah, it's like putting us in slavery. He should have said, excuse me, sir, the men that fought that got $1 an hour. I've never seen you call to find out why we got only $1 an hour. Excuse me, sir, you know what's going on in those prisons, but you're going to ask me about what Harris did? This is how they trick us. This is what they want us to go against each other to help who? Their own to get into the office. So I'm saying to you, that's like saying, well, he's not in the Islam. Why should I vote for him? Well, you got a whole lot of them think like that. They think El Islam is not supposed to be with the government. And this is our country. More important than that, while you sitting around not voting, all these foreign people are becoming senators, congressmen, and this and that, and they running their children because they're Americans now. Keep in mind, they can't run, but them children can. They're born here. They run them all the African Americans walking around talking about, oh, we don't vote. So what I'm trying to say to you, doesn't matter. You have no choice. The best thing is to go with the new guy and pray that Allah can help him. And if, in fact, he's sick, he dies for the second time in the history of this country, two minorities, one ran for president and one, the other one became vice president and inherits this country as a president of the United States. And I will say this about her. Bloods and Crips was created in California. It was killing everybody. She had to stop it. In order to stop you, she needed the police department. And I like what she says. Yes, I did things that I wish I had not have done, but I had to do things because of the conditions. But look at her track record now. As senator, unbelievable. Unbelievable. As she moved out of that department and being in the law enforcement. So you have to keep hope alive, as Jesse Jackson said. You have no choice. and let me tell you what's going on. I said it, and I'm saying it here with all y'all that are listening. I believe if 60% of the Republicans go against this man, we got help. And so far, you got at least 25% is going against them. They can't take this. This is not going to help their children. They will suffer, too. They're not dumb. The distance from them and us, they will never tell you what they're going to do. And you go behind that curtain, it's just you and God. So I know that happened to us. I don't want to tell his name, but we had a man running for the first time to be governor of New Jersey. That was his part, to go there. What happened when we wanted to get him in, we asked the mayor to come behind. One mayor said, I'm with you. I know he's going to get in now. He's going to be county exec. County exec and governor is the only two richest positions to have. Both of them handles billions. One handles 100 billion, the other one handles 300 billion. But they have a billion. There's never been an African-American governor of New Jersey or county exec. I'm talking about Exeter County, the biggest county. He was in there. That black man went behind the curtain, and the reason we know, because he lost by a small margin that would have won, because he didn't want that. He was jealous, didn't want him in there. This is what we do to each other. So now they want us to go against Harris, because what Harris did 10 years ago. What did you do 10 years ago? We evolved. We come from what we had to do to survive. There's a woman that will give her, there's two kinds of prostitutes. One that gives their money, gives their body because they want the material wealth. And another one will give their body because they want to feed their baby. Now that one, all she's worrying about is her babies eating. Take her out of there, and you'll find one hell of a woman. Now, not that other one can't clean up, but she's materialistic. And when you're materialistic, you just make bad decisions. And that's why you fall to nothing. It happens every day. So, yeah, you got to vote for them. You got to vote for him. And hopefully the Republicans will join us, which I believe they will. We need about 60% of them along with us. But they're cutting down the mail. They're cutting down your jobs. They're cutting down voting by way of mail. They're trying everything, Samad. But we in El Islam says, don't fear. They plot and plan, but God plans. And God is the best of planners. You've never seen the odds with God. The odds is with you, me, every human being. That's the odds. And that's what Allah shows you, but you're not in charge. It's his will. And if he will that team to get in there as a Democrat, well, it's better than what we have. That's my humble opinion. What's your other question?
That's it, Rod. Only one question today.
Very good. Now, Hassan, are you there? If you're there, my Hassan, please speak up. Okay, my Hassan's not there. She's been studying for her master's degree, and she said she would come on, but she probably didn't come on. Jacqueline, my beautiful assistant, my lovely person as a human being, one that always had my back, always was there, and more important, brother, sister, she got so good at what she knows how to do, I can send her to a Latino state and tell her, go do what I taught you. And I come in, I don't have nothing to do but hug her and say, job well done. That's how good this young lady was with me. And she's with me for a long time. Are you there, my sister? Assalamu alaikum, Jacqueline. Take your phone off the hook, off the six.
Hello?
Jacqueline?
Hello?
You there?
Yes. Yeah. Marad?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
I am very well, thank you, Connie. How are you?
I am good. Hello, Samad. I love you, too.
He hears you. He got his phone on mute.
Okay. I hope all is well with you. I keep y'all in my prayers and make dua for y'all every day.
Alhamdulillah. You have the floor, Jacqueline.
Well, are you ready to talk boxing?
Yes, matter of fact, Jacqueline, is unbelievable. I think we're getting ready to create a new show. We got so many calls, and Eli was listening. He was one that told me, if y'all don't do a show on your own, y'all are missing a whole lot, because the way we have defined what people see but don't understand what in the world is going on. So whatever you want to ask me, I'm willing to give you the answer, God willing.
Okay, you know, last time we got to talk, we got cut off a little bit. We were talking about Roy Jones and Mike Tyson, their upcoming fight that they're doing in November now. But the last time we talked, you know, Roy was talking about backing out, because he was saying he needed to be compensated for any delay. And like I said, he responded 2 weeks later to after the fact, which made a lot of people say, is he broke? Is he broke? And how is he broke, all the millions of dollars that he's made? But since then, he's retracted and said, I'm going to go ahead and fight. With no money changing hands, I always thought it was a bluff in the first place. I thought he was going to try to get some money. That's why I thought you were behind it, because you're always concerned about if the fighter has the money. Can he take care of his family? Is he able to survive? And he backtracked now and said, no, the fight's going to go on. I was just frustrated. But no money, the very thing that he was talking about was not having the money, but no money traded hands. So was it a publicity thing, or why do you think he came out saying that he needed to be able to take care of his family, he's not boxing, he needs this money, but then all of a sudden, it's okay now, forget it. I'm gonna fight. I'm not gonna back out. What do you think prompted that?
We gotta understand.
Let me say that. And I ask you that question because better than anybody, you know Roy, and spent incredible amounts of time and years with him. So that's why I'm asking you that. Why? And I know he's doing some things now that he didn't do with you. He's not in the limelight as much. So I just wanted to be clear of why I'm asking you that question is because of the many, many years that you did spend as Roy's promoter.
Well, Jacqueline, you got to understand, he comes to our children, especially when I convinced Phil Knight to allow me to take Michael Jordan to another level and launching Jordan Brand. I've always wanted to be in the home of the children. That's why I love Budweiser being my supporter for a long time, and they've been around for years. But you can't take a beer company into the bedroom of the children. And therefore, when I was able to put the Junkman logo on my ring mat, never been done in the history of the sport, Roy went into the homes of the children. So Roy is loved by our children. You can't come out over the air and say the wrong thing. Someone told him he should not have said that. You, if you're broke, you act like you're rich. You don't tell the children that you're broke. So he had to retract that. Now, I'll give him that. If that's so, that's Roy. Now, Roy could be different. Roy could have gotten some money. Somebody could say, hey, you can't pull out. Here's the advancement. Now, they can call it training expenses. No one can say nothing about that. How much? Well, if he's getting shaped for November, and it's going to cost him. So they could have gave it to him in the sense of the word of expenses. Expenses you write off. It's not, now you can't go out and buy another house, and then you will be, that's a fraud. But you can buy another wagon, you can have your crew, you can buy equipment, you can buy certain things you need to have, and that's expenses. And usually you don't get off there because he's a former heavyweight champion of the world. Why would they order him if he's $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, whatever it may be? But if they said that this is an exhibition for charity, you turn on all lights.
Right, and that's how we know, like when he recanted, we found out that no money changed hands. So are you saying that it was something he was just frustrated and came out with that? It was a slip of the tongue? Or did he just not know better? But I would think he knew better because you had him groomed to being able to talk to the press, to be able to do his commentating job. I used to hate him as a commentator, but over the years, he increasingly got better and better and better, and I really enjoy now watching him be a commentator because a lot of the boxers like Lennox Lewis this weekend with the fight that was on with Sean Porter, they'll sit up there and let these announcer guys that don't have any boxing experience tell them about boxing, you know, and Roy was not like that. Roy would stop him, and George Foreman wasn't like that. George and Roy were the ones that would stop them in their tracks and be like, no, that's not what it's like when you're in there. When you're in there, you're thinking this or you're thinking that. So do you think it's a case of somebody saying you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have told the public that you were broke?
Well, I reiterate, I believe he said that to keep faith and not to let children think that one of the greatest fighters that ever lived is broke. But you got to understand, this is a real world out there. Sugar Ray Leonard, I put him number one. I have to say it. He was one of the best commentators we had. Roy's number compliments Sugar Ray Leonard.
Thank you.
And George Foreman's number three. And you're right, none of those three would let anyone dominate them. George would tell me in a minute, he'd say, you know what you talking about? I told you such and such, such and such, and surely it comes to fruition. Roy was good at that. If you ever see Roy by himself, you can't understand what the hell he's saying. He's a country boy. He talks that kind of language. But when he gets on TV, he's all very articulate. He knows where he's at. But this is what goes on with fighters. Fighters, as I said earlier in my talk, power is like wine. The more you get, the drunker you become. So Roy felt that he can do things his way. And Roy has went into several fights and didn't get his money. Guess what? He ended up with no money. So that could have flashed back on him if he needed money and he didn't receive any, and then they cut the fight. You got to understand that Roy has a good name, and there's no there's not a sponsor out there would not sponsor him if they don't do no more and say, "Hey, wear this, wear the gloves, wear the robe." That's money for Roy. Yeah, that's not charity. You're paying him to make you big. So he felt maybe he was able to do that. I don't know. But the question was asked to me that both men, I bought millions. And Mike Tyson, Jacqueline, Mike Tyson made a statement coming out of prison. He gone with Marab Mohamed. And I believe I have Tyson. But I wrote him a letter, Jacqueline, and I indicated to him, get free first. Don't worry about me. When you're free, then you make that decision. Don't make that decision under oppression. It got you oppressed, man, and you may not be able to think clearly. So Don wouldn't have beat me. But there was a group of men that I grew up with. And Cook Kerkorian gave $35 million for Tyson, the MGM Grand. $35 million. I get a call, but the call didn't come directly to me. The call came to one of my employees. And when the call came, he never told me. So he goes out and says that he can do it. He can bring him Mike Tyson. That's $35 million for him. When Kurt Kerkorian met him, he told the brother, "This is kindergarten. He don't know about no boxing." So you would think now that he got my number, he would call me. This is the same one that told me what went on. So that man decided to call who? Don King. That's how Don got Mike. It was Islamic brothers that called Don King. And Don came, and you know how Don is. Don took it over, took the $35 million. He took the $35 million and gave them free tickets to the fight and some turkey on Thanksgiving, and allowed them to fly them in on every fight.
Wow.
Income. He was making $20 million before Mike. It went up to $80 million.
That bar.
$80 million. And when that's Mike messed up in at the MGM Grand, Don King collected $100 million in stock. But he never put Mike's name down there. They paid him to get out of Vegas with Mike Tyson because of what happened.
Around 5
so these things happen in boxing. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
That's what it is.
Because what's mine, Allah will give to me. What is it? It's like the bullet. The bullet will hit you. If it ain't meant for you, it's not going to hit you. So I don't worry about that. But then when Don King was beating Mike, and I heard Mike hit him with a left hook and then was stomping that old man, that I wouldn't accept. But I heard it happen. And he said, "Go get me Marab Mohamed." And I got a second chance to take over Mike. That same guy came in 6 hours later, and Mike said, "Well, where's Marab Mohamed?" He said, "Marab Mohamed, we went into a corporation with him, and he beat all of us. Ain't that something?" And nobody never went in the boxing world with me. So he said, "Oh, the Marab's a crook, too. The hell with all of y'all." And he went with the Caucasians. And Mike grossed $100 million with them, but they grossed $500 million. Why? Because Mike tried to do it himself. That's these fighters. Only reason why Roy gets beat, because Roy tries to do it himself. But with me, they couldn't beat him. Because I'm transparent. You ain't got to argue how much money I got. We're going to make that deal right here. This is how much money we got. We got $20 million. This is mine. This is yours. And I don't want nobody to send me their money. Send his money to his account. I don't want to see it. I don't want to touch it. And I don't want to be accused of it. So these men make these decisions. I can't say that he did everything well. No, I did it. He didn't create the money. I created the money. He didn't sell the gates. I sold the gates. He didn't get all this money from 19. That's me. That's what I do. That's my job. His job is to think, walk, sleep, boxing. Because you get away from that, the next guy got you. And Roy did exactly that. We was a great team. I'm going to say this about him. Roy, this is on every fight. Roy, how you like to be the heavyweight champion in the world? Yeah, let's do it. That's all I had to do was talk to him for 5 minutes. That's how good we were. But someone said to him, Mirage going to take over your life. I don't think anybody slave to me. You do what you want to do. This is your life. You make your own decisions. And that's what's wrong with each one of the athletes that think in this sport. Now, you can go into some other business I know nothing about. But in this sport, you play promoter, fighter, Jacqueline. A fighter walk, sleep, 24 hours boxing. Well, a promoter is not a boxer. But we promoters, and only three of us, we promoters think, sleep, walk, deal.
I have a question, Mirage, because it was just something that you just said about somebody whispering in his ear and telling him about you taking over. And that gave me the perfect segue to come in with this question. In the 30 years that I've known you, it amazes me. Because there have been many fighters that you didn't have a contract on. You took them by their word and got fight for them and made money for them. There are other fighters that when they had any sign of being disgruntled, you said, here's your contract back. Somebody asked for it. You gave it back. It was never an issue. And you've told some million-dollar-making fighters to kick rocks. I mean, you've let some people go that people would say, are you crazy? How did you let that guy go? But ever since I've known you, it's not a legal fight. It hasn't been a Don King like we all know in the boxing world when Roy got with Don King, and to be able to get away from him, he had to forfeit the $7.2 million purse. But with you, it's the exact polar opposite. You, like I said, you've given contracts back. You've worked with absolutely no contract based upon your word. And the one thing I know about that is that whether they were with M&M Sports signed contractually or whether they not, every single fight that you always did, you gave it 100. There was no difference. I used one of the lines that you used to say to me, which was, if the show isn't ready to go to Hollywood, why are we doing the show? So we got to make it the biggest, the best ever. But is that something that you always did? Like I said, you never fought to keep a fighter, and if they were disgruntled, you let them go. Here's your contract back or whatever. What put you in that frame of mind? Because you have fighters and promoters that end up in court all the time to this very day. You know, I want to get out of this contract. Well, he owes me X amount of dollars and all that. What made you different in that of letting a fighter go? If he's not happy, you say, okay, then you can go, or giving them their contract back and not looking for anything on the other end.
It's a continuity that I adopt, let's say, with my wife. I say two things to my wife. I said, I can be angry with you, and I can deal with it. If I'm angry with you and you angry with me, I cannot deal with it. If, in fact, I would never leave my wife, but if my wife wants to leave me, there's the door. And I don't want anything that don't want me. And that metaphor was what I used in the boxing world. It's like a marriage. If that fighter stops listening to you, you have nothing but hell. And like you said, in the court of law, I'll give you an example. Don King's been in the court 200 times or more. Bob Arum been in 200 times or more. Four times in my whole life. Because I do just what you said. I was saying on the air the other day that there's a very, very outstanding boxer. I got him out of the contract, did everything for him, and he made a mistake and said the wrong thing. You can't say the wrong thing to me. So I put on that contract, null and void, and handed it to him. He said, what are you doing? I said, you need to go do your own thing because me and you are not going to get along. I don't want trouble. I got to go get the money. I got to make you rich. I got to make you famous. I got to take something insignificant and magnify to be significant. I don't have trouble with it. I have a singer. Boy, did I did wonders with her. I mean, she sung the national anthem on national TV, took her to the Philippines. They were kissing her. She was singing the Star Spangled Banner in front of over 140,000 people, and here, there, everywhere, and all the hotels, the Caesar's Palace, the Tropicana, everybody loved her. But she wanted to do it her way, being so young, she felt she could do it. I gave her a contract. She says, well, what about this studio you built for me? I said, it's yours. What about all the instruments that you brought for is yours? And when you don't listen anymore. So if my wife don't want to be with me, I make a deal. She can have everything in that home. That home is hers. The furniture is hers. The cars are hers. Only I can pull one out. Everything is hers. The land, the gold, whatever. I can always create my own. I don't like trouble, and I don't want to be around trouble. So if you disturb me, how am I going to grow? A wife motivates you. So if you do that with a wife, what is these fighters? They less than that. However, they make a lot of money for my wife and I. So therefore, I will consider. But when you stop listening, and I can name them all, Larry Holmes stopped listening. Pacquiao stopped listening. Roy Jones Jr. stopped listening. I can go on and on and on. Never gave one of them trouble. Never. I said, yes, you're right. When Roy came to me, I took him from 3 to 17 million with no contract. So anytime that door swings both ways, son, you either be with me or you're not. If you're not, go do your thing. And every last one of them, have left a lot of money behind. Because why? You either going to be a fighter or a promoter. You can't be both. It's like trying to be a woman and a man. You can't be both. But I can protect that female. And that female can give me back all the things I love, especially my children. And the affection and the things you need, because that world will mess you up. You want to come home to your wife, that's heaven. You want to lay in her lap and you want to think, whoa, what just happened? And your wife says to you, don't worry, God will give it back. You just got to get up, get it. Yes, you motivate me. See, we like swim with the sharks, but we got to come to the shore. The shore is the wife, that's the foundation. It's like moving your Bentley all around. But you got to go to the gas station to get some gas. So home is your house. That's your heaven. So I never wanted my wife involved in all this crazy stuff because I talk a little different outside the house. Get all my children together. I got 11 of them. Get them all together and ask them, say, do your father curse in the house? Yes. Yeah. What do you say? Hell? No, no, no. Do you say curse? Yes. What? That's your ass?
No, no, no. Do you really curse? What do you mean? F you.
No. I don't talk like that.
I don't talk like that around my people. I don't talk like that around my wife.
But catch me out there where there's war. And you can't say, theoretically speaking, I will strike you. You can't say that, Jacqueline. You can beat up. You got to say things that will shock them. You got to shock them and put them in their place that I don't play. There's another side of me. So that's the world out there. So when I came from that world, to teach what I've been learning from Imam Water of Being Muhammad that taught me, and he used to fly in and be with me and talk to me and tell me how to read this, how to look at this. I said, well, maybe I'll just do that. Whoever thought I'd be doing this for close to 9 years? They call me Imam, they call me doctor. Why am I a doctor? Because the things that you can do. Well, I can do anything I love doing. I love doing this, I love giving back, but more important, it will disturb me if we do not evolve to the success that I'm used to being on. I don't like being out there alone. Now, Jacqueline, you've been in my bungalows. Bungalows, brothers and sisters, is where Michael Jackson and Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, all top people be. You got your own butler, your own pool, your own maid. That's what they give me. But before I was going to the bungalow, I was in the suites. You in presidential suites. You in suites that looked like a football field. But that was good. It sure makes you feel good. You know you somebody, your name on billboards. You come in there, all billboards. It's just unbelievable. But my goal was to build a good name. Because I'm like Mommy taught us, a good name is better than gold. And Jacqueline, I can honestly tell you, anybody tell you, and she knows my reason. But this young girl, lady would have been my wife. But I couldn't, brothers and sisters, because her heart, her soul, her spirit, and her ability was more to me than to play with her. Even though
now I'm gonna say something. Doing business that way, to where you would let a fighter go if he wasn't happy being with you, and they went on and got with other promoters. But also, people have owed you, Don King, owed you millions of dollars. You haven't dragged Don King into court. People have done stuff, and yet you still keep it moving, and you still thrive. So I guess my question would be, if you had it to do all over again, and we're talking about millions of dollars that I know that people still owe you, would you do it the same way?
Well, before I answer that question, so you know, Don owed me $50 million, 5-0, 50. That's in the bank account he never released. And a lot of those, you put it together one day, I was thinking, it's over $100 million. But I decide that my success around the world, in 200 foreign countries, you know, you come into Kazmarama, you go to Venezuela, and they call you a prophet. I'm not a prophet. All the fighters, all the people in the malls, all the people come to me, and you sign an autograph, I don't care what nationality they were, or how old, how young. I got what I want, a good name. I'm in every library. And you know I'm in every newspaper in this country, not over and over and over and over and over, and over again. And my likeness and my 35 years of promoting boxing on TV, you can go there and see any one of my fights and you know I'm there. However, that meant more to me than money. Money comes and money goes. And I don't want to talk about all of them as individuals, but collectively, they all are not satisfied today.
It's a shame.
Exactly.
It's great. And not happy. I'm happy, Jacqueline. I'm happy to know that you would speak like this. I'm happy to know that you are can bear witness. You can bear witness that that man was different than anything you ever met. As sharp as I was, or handsome as you say I am, my morals, that was the key. The morals of the human being will take you down. That's how Satan gets us. He couldn't get me. If you wasn't my wife, you were my sister. That's how you said it. That's my biological sister right now. So we had to have those morals. They didn't have it. So the flag man who says, I'll be with you, he came up to my presidential suite. He said, I hope you ain't upset that Pacquiao lost. I said, he didn't lose. They took it from him, but no, I'm not upset. He said, let me tell you something. You said, thank God that you ain't in that club. I said, what club? The low life, the scum of the earth club. I said, what club is that? They cheat and fight us. They bring drugs in the country for them fighters. They put drugs in boxing gloves. They fix fights. You ain't in that club. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm going back downstairs and have fun. Now, this is a Caucasian FBI calling me, and Eli was on the phone right now. He'll come in if I was lying on him. I said, Eli, do you know what the flag means? I was right there. I want to tell you all something, what unity is. The room was so big, you didn't know he was in there. But I was studying. A man would call me. He's quiet. He don't disturb me. He knew when to disturb me and when not to disturb me. And I love about them because they would never leave me alone. So I'm in there, everybody downstairs, having a ball, having a And I wouldn't come. That's why I didn't go. I got that from Howard Hughes. It cost me $110,000, but I made sure everybody had fun. So I was used to say, can you tell half your family to stay home? They bring everybody here. You spend all this money. I said, one day we won't have it. Give it. Let them have fun. Let them enjoy themselves. But I would not go downstairs. Yeah, I remember, Jacqueline, that you was with me. And we went to Don King with me and Hannah. So, and I spoke. And Don King's son jumped up and said, my God, this man can speak. And then his lawyers, you know, they used to aggravate Don King because he could not talk to me when it came for promoting. And the only difference. He's good. Don't get me wrong. My motivation was watching him come from the prison and raise himself up. I'm from the projects. I'm going to raise myself up. So I give him that accolade. I'll be remiss if I don't do that. But the problem with Don that he had against me, he would give you rhetoric. I would give actual facts. That's how I promoted my fighters. That's my humble opinion.
That's great. Like I said, and I was witness, and I knew that you gave many people back their contracts. I just that as a whimper of I think what you used to say is a fighter is like a woman. If she don't want to be with you, you can't force her to be with you. You have to let her go.
Nope, I gotta go. You don't want to be with me, it's all right. There go the door. I don't play games. You can mess up. I'll say this, and I'm going to close with this, Jacqueline, because I don't like to go too far over. Allah, sometimes what Allah says, your wife and children is nothing but a trial. And most men took that literally. So meaning if your wife made a mistake out there, you should leave her. Why? Because you love her, and you're only there because you love her, so that's your trial. Your wife mess around and get ill. You leave her. Why? Because she can't hold me down. Your wife might do the despicable.
what God is saying, the trial is you never leave your wife. You help her regardless what she does wrong, what sickness she has. That's what God says. Did you pass the test? Because he only tests you with that which you love. So he said your wife and children are but a trial for you. I give a great example without disrespecting any female. Your son, you told him, don't do this, don't do that. He goes out and do it. He's wrong. Now he's being indicted. Do you give up on him? No, you fight for him. And if he really did it, you try to give him the lowest sentence you can get for him. But you don't give up on your child. You don't give up on your wife. Now, a lot did say 2, 3, or 4. But you may have to go get another one, but you don't give up on Islam. This is who we are. But it's a difference if the wife wants to leave, you can't hold her hostage. That door opens. See you. Don't want to be you because you'll find out here is a real world. Then Allah says if she goes and mess up, then it was her fault. But if she gets married and she's successful, it's his fault. So you want her back because she wants to come back. Yes, you take her back. But Allah said if you punish her because she left you, if you punish her, he will strike you severely. So meaning you don't take her back. You take her back because you love her. Suppose she go again. It's the third time. After that, she can't come back. Number three, you out. But she says to you, you rather see another man jumping up and down on me? It doesn't say that in the Quran. It don't go that low. It says, do not take her back after the third time. She got to do what? Get married. Now she gets married. She's with her husband for 4 or 5 years, and guess what? She found out she don't want to be with him. She divorced him. She comes back. Allah says you can accept her back. Now, this is a temporary world, brothers and sisters. Why do you think Allah permits what I just said? Because you're trying to get the Jannah. Devin, believe me, if you love me in the next world and it's in your heart, Allah will give you to me. But you got to have that heart. That wife got to have that. You cannot go in the Jannah and that wife going to see you with Allah racist. All that's not in her heart, you will know nothing you did in this world. That's how beautiful the hereafter is. I can teach this for the next 3 hours about why man and woman, not only in physical sense of the word, but in community, we should love each other like husband and wife. That's my humble opinion. If I say anything to anyone out there to hurt you all, that is not my intention at all. If I said anything incorrect, I'm human. I make mistakes upon Allah. If I said anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your being, your future, your nature in which you was created, stand up in your obedience to God, faith in God. Your belief in God, yes, your taqwa. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. I greet you from our father, Adam, who we don't talk about, to our father, not our biological father, Abraham. He's the son of Adam, just like us. So that's our brother, but not in the intellectual mind, not in his nationality. He's the father. Because why? He found God without anyone teaching him. And I greet you from Jesus, Jesus Christ. We love Jesus. Christ means Muslim. And he said it. What's in me is in you, and what's in you is in me, meaning our nature. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad, the seal of the prophet. We give him the excellent salute. Peace and blessings be upon us, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
Why? Because when you greet him, you're greeting all the prophets. One brother says 125,000 prophets. Okay, I just greet them all when I greet the prophet. That's what you get. And I greet you all with the language of God. It's in the Quran. You don't need no more. Assalamu alaikum. Some people say, Assalamu alaikum, rahmatu Allah. No, that's for the angel. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatu Allah, barakatuhu. Oh, no, that's for the Prophet Muhammad. That's not for us. Just Assalamu alaikum is powerful if you just know what it actually means. I was your host tonight. I'm Murad Bahani. And tomorrow, tune in. Elijah Obey. Imam Elijah Obey will be on tomorrow. And he's on from 7 to 8. And then Islamic sister Michelle Muhammad, and she comes on from 8 to 9 to teach how to eat to live. And then Thursday, Brother Imam Elijah Bay will be back. He's on 7 to 8. And then comes Friday, my beautiful brother, the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Muslim. Yep. Musa Muslim Aboi. And he speaks. And that's the night that we all come together at 5 o'clock and we do this all over again. The more you tell the people, the more they will tune in. I don't mind who he is, who she is. And they can ask me any question they would like. If you want to email me, you email to askmuradmuhammad@yahoo.com. And Jacqueline gets mostly all of that, and she'll call me when I'm busy, and she'll read to what I have. And I wish I could tell you the letters that we received that will shock you all around the world that she has read to me. And we would answer those letters. We tried to answer everybody that we could. Brothers and sisters, we want to make a dua for all those who stayed away from COVID-19. May Allah separate their sins from their goodness, as I'll separate the east from the west, and grant them paradise, and Jannah, as we say. For those who are ill and trying to kick that burden, we ask Allah Almighty, the merciful God, to give you mercy and lift that burden from you. And all of us that's well and trying to help those who are sick and help those who are in need, we ask Allah to reward you, the barakats. Those barakats get you into paradise. Once again, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And we have an announcement, but we'll start announcing next week about Donnell Kareem. He soon will come to New Jersey. That's on the 18th of September. And unity will take place because we're going to try to get the whole East Coast to welcome the man that grew up with Imam Warsteen Muhammad, one of the best we have. He's not the oldest. Kareem Hassan is the oldest. He is only older in continuity, meaning he was with the Imam before Imam Kareem came around. But he is one of our oldest Imams. That's the one you met, Jacqueline, in California. Thank you. May God be with all of you. Peace and love.
Conference record. This session is no longer being recorded.